Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So stay standing. How are we, C3 Toronto? So this is just an absolute thrill for us. I preach in a lot of different churches, and some of them are just difficult places, you know, but this is just so alive and so strong and so vibrant and also so real and so authentic. I don't think there's a more authentic church than you guys. In all the places I've been to, I don't think there's been a more real church than what you actually are. It is quite exceptional, you know. I think it's because you've got an authentic pastor. And I think that there's something in the air here that's quite real, you know. The hallmark of the Christian faith, stay standing, isn't a standard of holiness. Because, I mean, some will reach it, some won't. It's a bit cruel, that. The hallmark of the Christian faith is change, it's transformation. It's being on a journey, growing in God, you know. I've got more in common with a 16-year-old who's still on cocaine but is struggling to get off it than someone who's 55 years of age who was a Bible college principal that hasn't changed in a decade. Because what I'm relating to is change. I'm not relating to a standard here. And as long as you're changing, you're on the same journey I'm on. None of us have arrived. None of us have got there. And then there's no arrogance in this place, you know. We're all on a journey of change. And I'm loving the music. I'm loving Lisa up here. Hi, Lisa. Give me a wave. And Lisa she's MDing, right? So if you don't understand, she's kind of music directing and sort of telling Amanda what to do, when not to do it. And you just get into it. I just love your spirit and I love your, I don't know, like there's something about you that's totally wrapped in the spirit and the heart of worship. And I want to congratulate you, you know, because life's difficult. And for you to put those difficulties aside and get into the throne room of God is a massive challenge for people. And you're succeeding. Every time you get up, you're succeeding. And it shows an incredible spirit that's like a laser light. It says, I want God and I'll push away every other distraction until I get God. It's in you. It's on you. I think you're just absolutely brilliant. Just brilliant. And she's standing next to a very young Bill Gates. Hi, Bill. Oh, gosh. And Amanda's extraordinary. We love Chrissy. You know, you've got some absolute gems. And Sarah, you've got some Katie. You've got some incredible gems in this place that I think you ought to count yourself lucky, count yourself incredibly blessed. Let's give God a clap offering of praise. Hey? He's so good. Hey, everyone said amen. Say whatever you like. You don't have to say amen. It's a bit religious, that. Just say whatever. Just say yippee or something like that. Give someone a high five or just a fist pump or something like that. Then take your seats. You guys can take your seats as well. And I was solo in the first service this morning, I think 9 a.m. service, then at the 10:30 service I was solo as well. But this service, my wife's actually turned up. And so Jen's going to say something for half a minute. So come on up, give Jen a huge round of applause as she comes up. She's going to say hello from Britain. Keep on clapping till she gets right here.
Hello from Britain. And I'm Australian. I just had such an amazing time at East Campus. Oh, my goodness, just a move of God there. Just loved every minute of it. What an incredible, incredible church. And when we say this, we're not just saying it because that's what we say. We actually genuinely love this place. Absolutely. We love your pastors. Pastor Sam and Jess are just the most genuine, honourable people. I have never met an Australian guy like Sam. Honestly, truthfully, a lot of Australian guys, they won't even talk to the women, you know. And like Sam just like thinks I'm valuable, which is nice. I just the most genuinely lovely, lovely man. And I just honour both of you for being so true and so wonderful. And I'll get off and you can strut your swagger of grace.
Oh, a little bit of mockery there. So Jen got it. There's a couple of books that I preached, like, I don't know when I did it, but I preached that, and the message title was, I don't have ADHD, I've got ADHA. I don't know if you were here then, and it's just the idea, right? Jen came back from America once with a couple of books on ADHD in adults, and she said, Dave, you better read this. And I read it, and I digested it, and it's the first time I felt like proper clinically diagnosed. You know, because inside my mind is a circus, and in that circus there's lots of monkeys inside my mind, and then, you know, I realized, gosh, this is what I've got, till the Holy Spirit got involved and said, you don't have ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, you've got ADHA, attention deficit hyperactivity asset. Asset. And I kind of love it when life's slightly chaotic, when, you know, when I'm spinning 25 plates at the same time and three start to wobble. I get excited about that. I leave everything to the last minute. They say don't leave things to the last minute. I get a lot of excitement about leaving things to the last minute, and I just quite enjoy it. And in that message, you know, I just discovered, just in terms of just general self-diagnosis, that I've got a touch of autism. And then I realized there would be no NASA if there wasn't people with a touch of autism. There would be no Michelangelo. There'd be no Einstein, you know. And there's a touch of genius in people that this world loves to call a disorder. And it's a genius, it's narrow, it's a genius. People might not be good socially, but you can make up for that. You know, you can do the banter, you can go to Starbucks and socialize while other people achieve great things with their gift of autism. And sometimes we put ourselves down, you know, and I used to think I've got OCD, now I realize I've got OCA. Obsessive compulsive asset. And this has worked well in my life for book writing. And it's worked well in a lot of other things. As long as it's for positive outcomes, not destructive outcomes, that's why God gives you the gift. Can you say amen? Uh-huh. So I got a problem. When somebody says, Dave, how's things, right? I got a problem with that because I'm thinking, what things, right? I go into like madness mode. I'm thinking, what things? What, the things between my wife and none of your business? The things in the last day, the last week, the last year? How's things? What on earth are you getting at by asking me how's things? And when I really think about it, I think generally things aren't good. You know, generally things are awkward. Like, generally things are difficult. Generally I'm between a rock and a very hard place. And, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, how much do you want to know about this? You know, I'm in a very difficult, precarious situation a lot of the time. And yet when Jesus described the Christian faith, he says, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. So he's saying the Christian life, Jesus said the Christian life is easy peasy lemon squeezy. And yet my experience of the Christian life is it's plain difficult. That I'm always struggling to make sense. I'm always struggling to make ends meet. I'm always struggling to do something. So who's right here? Well, I would say that both are right, because when you look at them in the right context, because context is everything, then Jesus is right. And in the right context, I'm right. But the context that Jesus said, he said, my yoke is easy. So he's introducing something into the equation that makes a fundamental difference to the way life is and the way you approach life and the way life treats you, because he introduces the word yoke. When I say life's difficult, you know what, that's my emotional state, and emotions don't lie. It's true, life's difficult, but in reality, life's impossible. So life's worse than how I feel it is. I think it's pretty bad. God says it's worse than that, Dave. That if I don't come through, you're a dead man. You're between a rock and a very hard place. You could die in this desert. And so emotions are catching up with reality. But I don't blame me anymore, because faith took me into the desert. Because faith licks its lips at impossibility. And that's, you know, miracles only happen in desert territory. Miracles never happen when you've got supplies coming in.
Faith always takes you between a rock and a hard place. So I don't blame myself for it. But I've got this dichotomy between the way I feel and the way Jesus Christ described my life. But in the context of yoke, I'm interested in it. Because a yoke is a piece of wood that joins two animals together in an agricultural context. And this is what Jesus said, and I'm going to read this out from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. This is what Jesus said. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary." That's us, right? "And burdened." Yeah. There'd be other words we could describe. "And I'll give you rest." Well, thank you so much. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart." I love that. "And you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burdens light." So what is this yoke? Jesus Christ is presenting himself to us today, not as Savior, not as King, not as the bread of heaven. He's presenting ourselves as an oxen. But it's not the average oxen. This oxen is the Ancient of Days. This oxen is the oxen that pulled down the walls of Jericho. This oxen is the one that enabled Sarah to give birth to a child. This oxen is a miracle-working oxen that enabled the Jordan River to split into two as they invaded the land of Canaan. This is the Ancient of Days, but he's an oxen. Not beautiful on the outside, but beautiful in strength. And he says, if you come along, and the Bible pictures you as an oxen, but a little tiny oxen, quite cute. And you come along to the older oxen, and he brings you together by a yoke. Then the Bible says, if you're yoked together with Jesus, the older oxen, then you're going to enter into something that's a lot easier than you're currently experiencing. So if I had points, I put point number one. It's because the battle belongs to the older oxen. See, he's strong, stronger than you. He's experienced. You've only been around for 3 decades. He's been around for 3 trillion decades. So he knows his stuff. But the battle doesn't belong to you. You're too weak to take on a Jericho. But with him, you can take on all things. So, you know, if the battle belongs to God, it simply means that when the wind blows coldest over your life, you'll always find your Jesus Christ on the bleakest side of the hill because he's protecting you from the darkest side of the storm that's currently hitting. You think, well, I'm just on my own here. No. He's in the bleakest side of your hill right now, whatever hill that currently is. When the battle rages against you, you'll always find your Jesus in the thickest part of the battle because he's fighting for you. If you think life's difficult, it's far more difficult for Jesus Christ because you're in the outskirts of the battle because he's pushed you back so that he, the older oxen, can be in the midst of the battle. He's fighting for you right now. He's fighting for you right now because the battle belongs to God. And you're going to have to give up your little fights and your little tendencies to fight everything that comes against you. And tuck in to the older oxen. He's been through persecution. He's been through trial and difficulty. He's been through the darkest of days. But he's continued until success has come. Because he's more than a conqueror. He's the Ancient of Days. But you know what you need to do when you yoke to the oxen is you just need to not go too slow and not go too fast, but stay in the rhythm of the oxen. We're going to stay on that because if you stay in the rhythm of the oxen, then his yoke is easy and his burden's light. So much so, the Message Bible says, instead of learn from me, it says learn the unforced rhythm of grace. You want to learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Learn the Bruno Mars
of grace. Learn the Usher of grace. Learn the Beyonce of grace. You need to learn it. It doesn't come naturally because you're born from the dust of the earth. You're born from striving. So you need to learn about the rhythm of grace. Now, this world undermines rhythm and it overemphasizes the chorus of grace. Because there's a chorus coming to this church that's filled and coming to your life that's filled with incredible miracle working power. At some stage, those walls will come falling down and we are going to be in the most thumping chorus that we've ever seen in our lives. But you know, nobody lives from chorus to chorus and no song goes from chorus to chorus. Every song goes from chorus back to verse. And then back to chorus. And so people have come up to me and they've said, Dave, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'll go. Where you'll be, I'll be. I'm believing for, you know, you said revival. I'm believing for revival. And yet when revivals come, when the choruses come, they haven't been around. Because they know about melody, but they know nothing about rhythm. And so somewhere in the verse, they lost patience. Somewhere in the verse, they pulled back. Somewhere in the verse, they pushed forward. But somewhere in the verse, they missed it. And if you could be with this church in the verse, I want to guarantee you will be here when the chorus comes because every verse leads to a chorus. But you've got to maximize the rhythm of grace, to learn the rhythm of grace, to come back into the rhythm of grace. It's not natural. You've got to learn this thing. You've got to learn the rhythm of grace. Now, the world undermines rhythm and the church undermines rhythm because we're into melody. And you know, when it comes to the rhythm makers in a band, they're often paid less than the melody makers. In actual fact, you know, if you brought the Rolling Stones up here, I've heard of Mick Jagger, I've heard of Keith Richards, but the other two, I don't know what their names and I don't care about their names. It's because they're the rhythm makers. I'm into the flashy melody makers. And that's a problem. Forgot you two here on stage. Yes, come on, Bono. You know, come on The Edge. Come on. I don't know your name. And whoever plays the drums, I don't care if you swap drummers. As long as Bono stays there, then we've got ourselves a U2. You know, if I got any band from Toronto who played last night in any gig up on the stage, I could work out who plays what instrument. The best looking person is the lead singer. It's just the way it goes. The one with ADHA is the lead guitarist. She's usually skinny. Because he's trying to compete against the lead singer for notoriety. He wants everybody to notice him. And so the lead guitarist is jumping all about the place, using up like 1,000 calories a night, you know, just to be someone, you know. But the one who doesn't mind eating that extra burger is usually the bass player. Now, not in this case, but the bass player is usually carrying a few extra pounds, right? And then the drummer. I don't know, usually the drummer has bits of yesterday's breakfast on his T-shirt. The reason why the bass guitarist and the drummer don't look as good as the lead guitarist and the singer is because we underestimate rhythm. And it's to our peril we underestimate rhythm because the rhythm takes us to the chorus. On Google, there's drummer jokes. Like, how do you know that the drummer platform is level? Because he's dribbling out both sides of his mouth equally at the same time. Who is it that follows musicians around everywhere? It's a drummer. You know, this guy went into a body part store, I don't know, like to buy a brain. And he said, why is the brain of a professor 10,000, the brain of an engineer 50,000, the brain of a drummer $1 million? Why is that? And the guy said, well, it's just because the brain of the drummer's never been used. So it's derogatory, right? But it's derogatory because subtly we love melody over rhythm. And some of you need to get back and big up the rhythm of grace and learn the unforced rhythm of grace. Because if you could get into the rhythm and be yoked with the older oxen, you're going to be there when breakthrough happens. Some of you can't wait. You need to wait. Some of you think, well, I'm just impatient. Stop it. You want to learn the unforced rhythm. This church needs to learn the unforced rhythm of grace. So I suspect, you know, to be out of rhythm, you can go even faster or slower. The moment you go slower, that yoke is going to strain your neck. And some of you have got strained neck syndrome. And it's just because you are distracted and because you've given up on God, you've decided to follow another path. But somehow in your heart of hearts, you're still linked to God. And the Bible says you can't serve two masters because it puts impossible strain upon your soul. And some of you have got neck ache right now because you're doing things that you don't truly think are the right things to do, but you've done because you've given up on the rhythm. And, you know, you just need to repent and say, oh, I'll come back to the rhythm of grace. And if it means some losses, then take the losses and take the hits and receive the forgiveness and walk in a brand new chapter with God. But I would say that most of your problem has nothing to do with going too slow. I would say that 90% of the room is too fast. That you're too fast. You're strivey. You're sweaty. I said in the previous service that the problem with marriages now isn't marriage breakdown, it's marriage creation. Breakdown's a problem, right? But that problem comes second to a lot of marriages should never have happened because they strove. They thought out of a fear of being single, out of a fear of missing out on intimacy, out of a fear of they get together and yet they should never have got together. They haven't even got the stuff that keeps them together built into them. And so, but we curse the breakup and yet God in one way says you should never have teamed up. And sometimes we try and experience intimacy before its due date. And sometimes we've got a premature baby that is, you know, figuratively, allegorically trying to stay alive, but it's difficult. And some of you have got some difficult situations in your life. God's still God, though, and the moment you come back to Him, everything in your life becomes God's plan A. So, you know, when Jesus was in the desert and He was tempted by Satan, they're amazing temptations because I don't know what day Jesus was up to. He's on a 40-day fast and maybe on day 26, Satan came up to him and he said, firstly, if you turn these stones into bread, you can eat now. He said, I'll do it for you. We'll throw ourselves a party now. And yet Jesus Christ was going to eat because he's getting hungry at day 26, right? He was going to eat in 14 days' time. So all Satan was doing was meddling with the rhythm. He was saying, if you come out of rhythm, then we can have ourselves a success story here. So he's trying to pull him out of rhythm and get him to have something now that had a due date attached to it. Can you see some of the things you're doing aren't wrong in essence, they're just wrong in timing. So if you come back into the timing, then you realize, gosh, 14 days' time, we're going to have ourselves a feast. But right now, we're in the rhythm of grace. And, you know, Jesus came in and the Spirit came out and the power of the Spirit of God into the most thumping chorus of miracle-working power any man has ever seen in the history of mankind. See, that's what happens when you stick with the verse. And, you know, second temptation, Satan said, come on, we'll go up to a steeple. And if you throw yourself off this steeple, the angels are going to minister to you and protect you and that. And that would happen when Jesus Christ was on the cross, that ministry angels would come and help him out. But that wasn't till about just less than 3 years or 2 years and 11 months time. So he's trying to get into experiencing the comfort of angels before the time for the comfort of angels was to come. And then he said, I'll take you up to the high. All of this can be yours. And yet in Jesus, in 3 years, 50 days time, all this would be his. Sometimes we think, yeah, Satan just wants me to backslide. No, he wants you to front slide. He wants you to front slide. He wants you to come out of rhythm. He wants you to jar the rhythm and front slide into stuff that has a due date, but you've missed the date through your impatience. And if you could let go of that stuff that you're doing and come back into the rhythm of grace, there is a chorus for you because God is gracious beyond grace. And you come immediately back, not into God's plan B, but you come immediately back into God's plan A. You want to learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I'm going to shoot right now to Psalm 37 because that's like chill pill territory in the Bible. So how about the keyboard player come on up and play a tune? Maybe Bruno Mars or whatever. This is what it says. It says, don't fret. Well, it's an odd way to start a letter. Don't fret! Because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like grass, they'll soon wither, and like green plants, they'll soon die away. So point number one, don't panic. Don't panic. Panic leads to unrhythmic behavior. You know, I sometimes we just get jealous. We're looking on Instagram and we're looking at celebrity culture and that. I used to be jealous of Brangelina. Like, I used to think, gosh, these guys, the love they've got for each other is just, it's just kissy, 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 kissy. Unbelievable. And they've adopted some kids from Africa at the same time. Thinking, how amazing is Brangelina? I used to get well gel at Brangelina. But you know, the Bible says that there's no point looking out that window, Dave, because now it's Brad Angelina. And some of the things you get jealous of are just fleeting. You get jealous of shooting stars. And your whole life is looking out the window of other people's shooting stars. And it causes you to panic. Think, I want a bit of that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if it's good, God will give it to you. In the chorus. Can you hear it? There's a chorus coming. It's coming. It's coming. How do we get there? Wow, on the melodies. Yeah, how do we get there? Just, can you hear the beat? It's the beat of heaven. It's the heartbeat of heaven. Don't panic. Number two, it says in verse number three, trust in the Lord and do good. And dwell on the land. So point number two, don't goof around. Don't goof around. I mean, when you goof around, for every hour you goof around, it takes 2 hours to backtrack. You know, for every relationship that's illicit, then you've got 2 years of pain. And then you've got 2 years of watching them on Facebook with somebody else, that's even more pain. I mean, you can save yourself a lot of pain here by not goofing around. Just do good, dwell on the land. Do good. Do the love week. Just do the love week. It'll get you out of trouble, that. It's no time to goof around when you're doing love week because there's 500 placements on love week. So just do love week. Make every week a love week in the right sense of the word. Just do good. What are you doing? I'm just doing good. And what else are you doing? I'm waiting for God. What do I do while I wait? Do good and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pastures. Don't go out of bounds. Don't go into the valley. Don't go into the dark place. Stay in green pastures. Number three, verse number four, I think, it says, take delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I love that. Stop putting God in a half Nelson. It's a wrestling term, that. How do you put God in a half Nelson? Well, just say, God, you've got 3 months to come through. Otherwise, I'm out of here. What I'm saying is completely real because some of you have done that. So I'll give you a year, Lord. A year in C3 Toronto. Well, he ain't going to do much if you do that. Because you're manipulating God. And if you manipulate God, he won't give you the desires of your heart. But if you unmanipulate, take out the small print, rub it out, chuck it away. Delight yourself in God. Enjoy him for who he is. His covenant is he'll then give you the desires of your heart. So you can personally stop the chorus coming. Or you can encourage the chorus to come. Depending on your love for God. Don't be here because you have to be here. Be here because you get to be here. Don't love people because you have to love them. Love them because you want to love them. Just be someone like that, and you'll find that God will take care of the things that you want. They'll come through, if not in the next chorus, then in the chorus after the next chorus. In verse number 5, commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He'll do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and your vindication like the noonday sun. So point number 4 is, don't self-justify. Oh my God, don't self-justify. The justice of your cause belongs to God. He is your defense lawyer. Stop defending yourself. You'll get yourself into a lot of trouble defending yourself. Be silent. Be like a lamb going to slaughter, as Jesus was. He was silent when His accusers accused, because His Father justified Him, and He knew in 3 days' time He'd be resurrected. And God will justify your cause. It will one day shine like the noonday sun, which means everyone's going to notice you are right. But if you self-justify, then this is going to kill you. It's for your own mental health, this. Because if you self-justify, the pressures are too great. You're going to be watching yourself. You're going to be suspicious of everything around about you. You're going to be pressured. You're going to be searching out for what people are saying about you. And it's just a very bad way to live. The justice of your cause will one day shine like the noonday sun if you stop self-justifying. Zip it in order to possess it. I made that up. Sounds pretty good. And lastly, point number 5, verse number whatever, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Point 5, don't move. Don't move. Be still before God and wait patiently for Him. Don't move. Don't move. Something is trying to make you to move away from the yoke. Even somebody said it's a yoke of oppression. No, it's not oppression. This is the yoke of love that says, I'll fight for you if you stick with me. Otherwise, the world is too chaotic for you to live in. The world is too unstable for you to live in. That's what's drawn you to this church. But you need to be drawn not just to this church. You need to be drawn to Jesus the oxen. And that's what this altar call is going to be about. Some of you are thinking, yeah, let's just find out how this church is acting. No, no, no. Forget the church. This church is a portal hole to Jesus. This church is not being a grandstand. It's a doorway. A doorway to Jesus. And some of you have made the church everything, thinking, how is this church going? Well, what are you doing judging the door? What are you doing measuring the door? What kind of person are you? It's just a flipping door. Stop measuring doorposts. Stop measuring doors. Stop discussing the color of the door. It's just a door. But it's a doorway to Jesus. Some of you have forgotten all about that. This altar's for you. It's going to be quite quick, but before we do, some of you just need to come back to the older oxen. Some of you said goodbye some time ago. You've been drifting as a little younger oxen. Got your foot stuck in the mud. And Jesus Christ wants to rescue you. Close your eyes right now. If that's you, or if you've dramatically front slid into incredible times that you have not been with Jesus, or backslid, or you've never ever connected up with Jesus, like in the real way that I've just talked about. If that's you right now, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'd love you to pray this prayer with me, and I'd love everybody else to pray this as well. Let's start off. Dear Jesus, I hear your calling. I can see you. You're like an oxen on the horizon. And I'm walking towards you. I receive the invitation to come unto me, those who are weary and heavily burdened. Lord, I'm a candidate, and I come to be yoked to you. I thank you. It's not a yoke of bondage. It's a yoke of love. and a yoke of surrender to you. I love you, and I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness for my wanderings. I receive your grace. Now teach me the unforced rhythm of grace. Teach me how to love you more. In Jesus' name. Lord, there's a holiness in that. There's a beauty in that because you know, there's a chorus coming. It's beauty. You've just fallen back into place. You've stopped self-justifying. You've stopped panicking. You've decided to lay down some things that you've picked up. If that's you right now, and that's for people who are backsliders or super front sliders and people who have never prayed that prayer, what I'm going to get you to do with every eye closed, except for me and maybe a couple of other pastors, then I'm going to get you in a few seconds to lift up your right hand and leave it up till all the hands are up. This is your line in the sand. I don't know if you know about symbolism, but there's always a blank page in between chapters that symbolizes it's a new chapter. And I'm going to get you to do that. I'm going to get you, when I count to three, to lift up your right hand, leave it up till all the hands are up. If you sincerely prayed that prayer with me, I'm going to get you to do it. So if that's you, just with every eye closed, except a few of us, then I'm going to ask you, when I count to three, to make a symbolic act upon that private prayer which you prayed. And I think symbolism is way underrated in the culture we're living in. If that's you right now, on the count of three, I'll count to three, then you put your hand up. 3, 2, 1, lift your hand, leave it up till all the hands are up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up.